This is Pacifica Radio Network, special coverage of breaking events in Libya. Today, Libyan devolution. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Following the loss of Benghazi and eastern Libya, and rebellious encroachment from west of the capital Tripoli, Muammar Gaddafi is now blaming Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda, and drug-addled youngsters for the popular protests that have prevailed over his bloody military retaliations, tribal counterattacks, and mercenary death squads. We now hear Muammar Gaddafi.
Why do you try to drag bin Laden into our country? Why do you listen? You are taught and you are brainwashed by bin Laden telling you what to do. Those who are inside, who are brainwashed, our people, we have to look for those gangs. We have to dismiss those from our lands. Those who offer pills to your children, arrest them and bring them to account.
Muammar Gaddafi. Later in the program, we'll have a deeper exegesis of his remarkable comments about sex and drugs and rock and roll. But right now, we are joined by Dr. Ali Abdullatif Amida. He is the department head of political science at the University of New England in Biddeford, Maine. He is also the author of The Making of Modern Libya, State Formation, Colonization, and Resistance. Dr. Amida, beneath the rhetorical bait of accusing resistors of being drug-addled kids and al-Qaeda terrorist tools, Muammar Gaddafi actually did make a proposal for increased wages and price supports for Libyan unions and workers. But is that too little and too late?
Yes, Bob, I think it's too little too late. And also, the language that he used today and is very, very much a very harsh, long speech earlier seems to indicate that he's in denial. And instead of addressing the major demands of the Libyan people at this stage of his rule, he tried to deny these demands, not to console or to give respect to the people who were killed, and not to recognize all the repressive tactics and practices of his police state. And in addition to this, he accused the opposition and the democratic forces that they are either rats or they are today they were brainwashed by Osama bin Laden.
Rats, roaches, and junkies.
Yes.
But is there something underneath that? It's so easy for some of us outside of Libya to think that this is the madness of a megalomaniacal maniac. But is there a part of these messages that might have some resonance with the loyalist militias and other constituencies to which he might be appealing for his own survival?
Well, he's trying to rally his own troops and his own supporters, the diehard supporters who have protected and really were behind the regime in the last at least 30 years. But this language, you know, used to be the anti-colonialist populism and the fight against foreign intervention used to be makes a lot of sense in the 70s. When his regime was very popular and regarded as a revolutionary, progressive regime within Libyan society. But the language now, with the tremendous alienation and tremendous repression and tremendous decay, he looked like he's out of touch. And also he looked like his regime is really exhausted and decayed.
Dr. Amida, this presents us with more than one form of partition. There is a demographic partition in the difference of aspirations and motivations of Muammar Gaddafi's 1969 revolution and today's revolution by the youth and others in Libya. And so there is a demographic, a generational partition, a difference in perception between two generations, it would seem. And because of your expertise and authorship of The Making of Modern Libya, State Formation, Colonization, and Resistance, I know that you're an expert on the processes, the tectonic methods of partition and congealing of a nation that is relatively young. And I'd like you to consider both of those points in helping us consider whether Libya is now a tripart state, whether there is a de facto partition that is underway and whether it's retrievable or not.
That's the state is really controls only the city of Tripoli and some parts of western Libya, and we know that the south is really rumbling, but we don't know much about that region of Libya. But I think the eastern region is now completely independent of the Libyan state, and it's trying to organize itself by spontaneous committees, spontaneous civil associations, and that has been remarkable in a short time. But at the same time, the key factor was not only the daring youth who challenged the state, but also the fact many soldiers and officers defected to the opposition. So what you have is eastern Libya, is completely autonomous from the Libyan state. The fight now is over the city of Tripoli, and the system is using, or the regime is using, all kind of desperate means to rally its own, supporters, but also running out of steam to the point of using mercenaries for the first time in Libyan history.
Those mercenaries, that certainly puts an extreme stress on those who appear to be of darker hue and African heritage, because indeed there have been mercenaries brought in under military facilities from Chad, Niger, and I believe Algeria and elsewhere. And there is a passionate and unreasonable caution among some of the resistance movement in Libya. There have been accounts of people being assaulted for being black, as well as people of black mercenary commitment assaulting citizens of Libya. It's a complete tragedy at all levels. And I'm wondering whether what you refer to as this unprecedented importation of mercenaries is the penultimate move of a chess game that could result in the absence, the termination, or the exile of Muammar Gaddafi.
Well, I think, as I said earlier, this is a regime that's really run out of steam and failed to reform itself and regenerate connection with Libyan society. And because it really locked and closed the door in any attempt for genuine reform in the last 10 years, despite the irony of having a really skillful staff and team of Libyan nationalists and reformers who led a very, very successful diplomatic campaign to rehabilitate Libya internationally since the arrangement and the resolution of the Lockerbie plane disaster. But internally, the regime closed all the doors recently, for the last 2 years, for a genuine attempt to reform the system. And when people began to protest against the state, especially the families of the sons who were massacred in 1996, the state hit them with iron fist, with the heavy apparatus and security groups. And by doing that and not acknowledging the legitimate demands economic, social, and political demands for bread and freedom, that alienated and radicalized more groups, especially the youth, who took that as a conclusion. It's really useless and hopeless to reform the system, and they began to challenge it.
One of the so-called reforms announced by the Gaddafi family was to establish a so-called Senate of 100 people to be led by a presidential-style figure, which many analysts presume to be a reference to his son, Saif al-Islami al-Gaddafi. Are his prospects dead in the water today?
The son appeared 2 or 3 days ago, I believe, and gave a speech that was disastrous. He sounded like his father, threatening, accusing, people who are, fighting for democracy, for rights, for jobs, for fighting corruption, for all the major things that most Libyans have been demanding for quite a while. And instead of using the speech that probably Libyans used to hear from him, admitting these demands, recognizing them, he threatened them with a very, very ominous speech, calling that either us or anarchy, either us or Western colonization coming back to you, either us or the burning of Libya, either us or the bleakest history that will put Libya 40 years back. And I think that speech was really disastrous and led to the conviction among many, many of these youth who are leading this uprising that it's no longer possible to negotiate or have a reform within the regime. And they began to call for the of the whole system.
Dr. Amita, in the 2 minutes that we have left, in regard to the proto-partition of Libya, we are aware that the eastern province has quite a wealth of oil reserves and oil fields, even though much of it is exported to Europe through a western pipeline. And in the district once known as Cyrenaica, are we looking at the new Kurdistan?
No. I think a while ago, there are some voices that are frustrated to call for that. But I think what's remarkable about this democratic uprising in Benghazi, in Baida, and other cities and towns of Cyrenaica, people are calling, for the Libyan unity, for a new democratic system in Libya. And we haven't heard yet the sentiment that say we had grievances for a long time, we are marginalized for a long time, we want our own state. I don't think we have heard that yet, thank God. And now there is a new awareness, a new coalition calling for an alternative regime that's more representative and more true to the Libyan demands who were frustrated for 42 years.
Well, we thank you for your insight. We've been speaking with Dr. Ali Abdul Latif Amita, the author of The Making of Modern Libya, State Formation, Colonization, and Resistance. He is also the department head of the Political Science Department at the University of New England in Biddleford, Maine. This is Pacifica Radio Network, special coverage on Libya. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and when we come back, we will have the actual words of Muammar Gaddafi.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Very good indeed. Keep your silly ways, or throw them out the window. The wisdom of your ways, I've been there and I know. Lots of other ways, what a jolly bad show. If all you ever do is business you don't like. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll is very good indeed. Every bit of clothing ought to make you pretty. You can cut the clothing. Grey is such a pity.
see my tailor, he's called Simon. I know it's going to fit. Here's a little bit of advice, you're quite welcome, it is free. Don't do nothing that is cut price, you know what they'll make you be. They will try their tricky device, trap you with the ordinary. Get your teeth into a small slice, the cake of liberty.
This is Pacifica Radio Network special coverage on events in Libya. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Taking a page from the Book of Nixon, Libya's beleaguered brother leader Muammar Gaddafi phoned into state television to proclaim family values and to decry these kids today, whose multi-party protests have taken over Libya's eastern district and are encroaching from western Tripolitania, as close as 30 miles from Gaddafi's bunkered compound in Tripoli, where imported and government-supported armed mercenaries from sub-Saharan Africa and elsewhere are suppressing a national wave of dissent against Gaddafi's four-decade-long Libyan Arab Jamahiriya. Gaddafi's latest speech actually offered income enhancements to trade unions while blaming Islamic fundamentalists for a destabilizing wave of national protests that may yet result in a partition of Libya. Despite his perhaps belated overtures and omission of his own fierce and fatal retaliation resulting in hundreds, if not thousands, of civilian deaths, Gaddafi is now blaming drugs and terrorists for his incremental demise after four decades of oil-funded ascendancy. We now hear, in his own words, Libya's beleaguered brother leader, Muammar Gaddafi.
We were living a decent life, and people had no reason to complain whatsoever. The Holy Quran says, obey God and obey the Prophet and obey those in charge of your communities. It's obvious now that this issue is run by Al-Qaeda. This incitement has been taking place. Those armed youngsters, our children, are incited by people who are wanted by America and the Western world. The few inciters, those are limited, very few in numbers. And those are the ones we need to capture. You have no reason not to enjoy a decent life. Get control of your children. Keep them at home. Those young teenagers, they are carrying machine guns, and they feel trigger happy. They shoot, especially when they get stoned with drugs. At night, they go out and they are given these drugs, these pills. They are supplied from Misrata, from a factory. Then they add it to their milk and their coffee and other drinks. Once they drink these pills, they let them go out on the streets and start committing criminal acts. And they even went to court and destroyed all the records. Their criminal files have been destroyed. And some of these kids carry firearms and they don't even know what to do with them. They don't even know how to use them. in any of our cities. The situation is different from Egypt or Tunisia. Those were people who were revolting against the government, had demands. Here, the authority is in your hands, in the people's hands. You can change the authority any way you wish. You can put anyone who is suspected of corruption on trial. It's your call. Where are the elderly, the tribe leaders, the heads of the families? Where are the heads of the syndicates, the lawyers, and the other professionals? You have reasonable, legitimate requests or demands that have to be responded to positively. If this is taking place in a peaceful manner, then we can discuss it and negotiate about it. The requests are not theirs. The requests come from Bin Laden. They are. Why did Al-Zawiya get involved in these issues like the Bin Laden related matters? They have been brainwashing the kids and the young people of that area, teaching them how to misbehave. And those enemies who have been training your kids, those are the ones who are under Bin Laden's influence and authority. And those are the ones who are giving these drugs to your kids. You're going to have to capture, arrest those causing the excitement and take them to criminal justice. This is your country and these are your people. How can you justify such behavior of misbehaving people who used to live in peaceful neighborhoods where all goods and supplies were available at reasonable prices? There were no queues. People were getting all the daily needs. What is the reason for armed robberies? Why did you have to get involved with the Bin Laden mentality and this sort of ideology? You can't live, you can't protect your kids, you can't raise families, sustain a decent life. From tonight or tomorrow, each one should look after his own family, his own children. To take care of them, you cannot carry firearms and run around on the streets. And you don't see on the streets people who have family responsibilities, like people married with children, people who hold senior positions in the society, or they will never carry out such acts. No one with a bit of sense would ever get involved in these matters. No one above the age of 20 will actually take part in these events. People with any brains will not take part in these protests. They are taking advantage of the young age of these people because they are not legally liable for punishment. It's people from the 15 to the 18, the teenagers, the adolescents. These pills are given a nickname in Tripoli. You have to go to a particular area called Jdeida to obtain the pills. And that's like the hub for selling these drugs. And that's where the kids go to obtain them. They are actually called the taxi of Judaida, and it sort of distorts their mentality and make them feel high to an extent that they start misbehaving. The rest of the Libyans are not dragged into this unsafe route. This is nonsense and shame on you.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
You've been listening to Pacifica Radio Network special coverage of developing events in Libya, with production credits to Michael G. Haskins, Jim Damon, Kathy Davis, Tony Bates, and Bertolt Reimers. I'm Robert Knight in New York for Pacifica Radio Network.
I'm tender years, I know the fears that you elders grew by, and so please help them with yours. They seek the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.